Good morning. Welcome to our service today. We have a couple of announcements to begin. First, to avoid embarrassment on this solemn day, could you please check that your mobile phones are either turned off or otherwise silenced? And secondly, there's an invitation to us all to enter into this service with open hearts and minds, and with our spirits open to hearing God's Spirit speak to us in a fresh way. Please remain seated for the first two songs.
How can I be free from sin? Lead me to the cross of Jesus. From the guilt, the power, the pain, lead me to the cross of Jesus. There's no other way, no price that I could pay. Simply to the cross I cling. This is all I need, this is all I plead, that His blood was shed for me. How can I know peace within? Lead me to the cross of Jesus. Sing a song of joy again. Lead me to the cross of Jesus. Flowing from above, oh forgiving love, from the Father's heart to me. What a gift of grace, His own righteousness, clothing me in purity. How can I live day by day? Lead me to the cross of Jesus. Following His narrow way, lead me to the cross of Jesus.
Oh, to see the dawn of the darkest day, Christ on the road to Calvary. Tried by sinful men, torn and beaten then, nailed to a cross of wood. This the power of the cross. Christ became
torn in two. to life, finish the victory cry. This the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath we stand forgiven at the cross.
Oh, to see my name written in.
Crushed to death,
life is mine to live, won through your selfless love. This the power of the cross. Son of God, slain for us. What a love, what a cost we stand for. The power of the cross, Son of God, slain for us. What a love, what a cost we stand forgiven at the cross.
John chapter 18. When he had finished praying, Jesus left with his disciples and crossed the Kidron Valley. On the other side there was a garden, and he and his disciples went into it. Now Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place, because Jesus had often met there with his disciples. So Judas came to the garden, guiding a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and the Pharisees. They were carrying torches, lanterns, and weapons. Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, went out and asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "I am he," Jesus said. And Judas the traitor was standing there with them. When Jesus said, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Again he asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they said. Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. If you are looking for me, then let these men go." This happened so that the words he had spoken would be fulfilled. "I have not lost one of those you gave me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Jesus commanded Peter, "Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?" Then the detachment of soldiers with its commander and the Jewish officials arrested Jesus. They bound him and brought him first to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jewish leaders that it would be good if one man died for the people. Simon Peter and another disciple were following Jesus. Because this disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard, but Peter had to wait outside the door. The other disciple, who was known to the high priest, came back, spoke to the servant girl on duty there, and brought Peter in. "You aren't one of this man's disciples too, are you?" she asked Peter. He replied, "I am not." It was cold, and the servants and officials stood round a fire they had made to keep warm. Peter also was standing with them, warming himself. Meanwhile, the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. "I have spoken openly to the world," Jesus replied. "I always taught in synagogues or at the temple, where all the Jews come together. I said nothing in secret. Why question me? Ask those who heard me. Surely they know what I said. When Jesus said this, one of the officials nearby slapped him in the face. Is this the way you answer the high priest? He demanded. If I said something wrong, Jesus replied, testify as to what is wrong. But if I spoke the truth, why did you strike me? Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Meanwhile, Simon Peter was still standing there warming himself. So they asked him, you aren't one of his disciples too, are you? He denied it, saying, I am not. One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him, didn't I see you with him in the garden? Again Peter denied it, and at that moment a cock began to crow. Then the Jewish leaders took Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanness they did not enter the palace because they wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked, what charges are you bringing against this man? If he were not a criminal, they replied, we would not have handed him over to you. Pilate said, take him yourselves and judge him by your own law. But we have no right to execute anyone, they objected. This took place to fulfill what Jesus had said about the kind of death he was going to die. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus and asked him, are you the king of the Jews? Is that your own idea? Jesus asked. Or did others talk to you about me? Am I a Jew? Pilate replied. Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done? Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place. You are a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. What is truth? Retorted Pilate. With this, he went out again to the Jews gathered there and said, I find no basis for a charge against him. But it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews? They shouted back, no, not him. Give us Barabbas. Now Barabbas had taken part in an uprising. John chapter 19. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they slapped him in the face. Once more Pilate came out and said to the Jews gathered there, Look, I'm bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him. When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, Here is the man. As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, Crucify! Crucify! But Pilate answered, You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him. The Jewish leaders insisted, We have a law, and according to that law he must die, because he claimed to be the Son of God. When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back inside the palace. Where do you come from? He asked Jesus. But Jesus gave him no answer. Do you refuse to speak to me? Pilate said. Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you? Jesus answered, You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin. From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jewish leaders kept shouting, If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar. When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat at a place known as the stone pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha. It was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about noon. "Here is your king," Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, "Take him away, take him away, crucify him." "Shall I crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priests answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another. "Let's decide by lot who will get it." This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled that said, "They divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment." So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath. Because the Jewish leaders did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you also may believe. These things happened so that the scripture would be fulfilled, "Not one of his bones will be broken." And as another scripture says, "They will look on the one they have pierced." Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 35 kilograms. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices in strips of linen. This was in accordance with the Jewish burial custom. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb, in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there.
We're here today to give thanks to God for the life of Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph and Mary. We are also here to share the sorrow of those who mourn and to offer them our love and support. Let us hear the word of Scripture that we may all face the future with hope in the love of God. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, your love for us is everlasting. You alone can turn the shadow of death into the brightness of the morning light. Come to us in our darkness and distress with the light and peace of your presence. Speak to us now through your holy word, that our faith may be strengthened and our hope sustained. Merciful Father, our Maker and Redeemer, we confess that we have not always lived as your grateful children. We have not loved as you love us. Father, forgive us if there have been times when we failed Jesus. Enable us by your grace to forgive anything that was hurtful to us. Lord, have mercy on us. Set us free from our sins and grant us healing and wholeness. Amen. Please stand as you are able as we sing our song.
Sacred head, so wounded, with grief and shame weighed down. O kingly head, surrounded with thorns, your only crown. Death's shadows rise before you. The shall dwell my heart by faith.
seated.
I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil, and he will keep you safe. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth forevermore. This is the word of the Lord.
Dear friends, we gather on this day in sadness, remembering the life of our friend and loved one, Jesus. And this is a particularly sad day for some of you, knowing that one of your own friends, Judas Iscariot, died in tragic circumstances very recently. What drove poor Judas to take his own life in the way he did, we don't know. But we acknowledge the pain and the anguish that people feel in their lives from time to time. Some of you, no doubt, feel that anguish today. On this sad but proud day, we welcome Mary Magdalene and Salome, who so kindly have brought spices and linen for the anointing and burial of the body of Jesus. And we welcome some of Jesus's friends, Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon, sometimes called the Patriot, and Judas, son of James. We welcome Mary, mother of James and wife of Zebedee, who is not able to be here but expresses his condolences. We also give a special welcome and express gratitude to Joseph of Arimathea, who so kindly arranged for the body of Jesus to be quickly brought down from the cross and to be brought here to this private graveyard. Joseph has kindly offered a burial plot in this cave, and we have accepted his great generosity. We also welcome other friends and relatives. Thank you for responding promptly. For the funeral is a little irregular, and certainly the body of the deceased is not available for viewing. In the haste of the moment, he has already been laid in his resting place. But we are gathered here to commit the soul of Jesus to God. It is a time of great sadness. The events of the last week seemed outside of anyone's control. It was a tragic death, so characteristic of what happens to so many of the people who fall foul of Roman law. Death by crucifixion is so agonisingly final and so traumatising to those who live on. And I'm sure it leaves us with that huge and difficult question, why? Why Jesus? And this question lingers on our lips. It's a question that keeps erupting from our hearts in our times of grief. Why? Why Jesus? It's impossible for us to answer. Jesus was the son of a carpenter in Nazareth, a dutiful boy, obedient to his parents' wishes. He had an enormous intellect and thirst to understand the scriptures. He was single-minded in his purpose when he thought something was important and it needed doing or changing. He was a born leader with charisma in abundance. He was kind. He was courageous. He was loyal. With some sadness, we realise that he took a somewhat different road in life than most others. From the age of 30, he seemed to believe that he was on some mission from God. And certainly, he spoke like the prophets, he healed many sick people, and he brought abundant joy and happiness to many. He was also very good at challenging the way we think about life and death. He meant well in the end, even though it led to this tragic death. And we all know that he wouldn't have hurt a fly. If it's any comfort at all, we remember that he didn't die alone, but in the company of others condemned as criminals. And it was, by crucifixion standards, very quick. Now, his suffering has ended, and he will be sadly mourned by all who knew him. Let us now give thanks for Jesus' life. Let us pray. Lord God, we give thanks for the many ways in which Jesus shared his life with us and others, in strength and in weakness, in achievement and failure, in the brightness of joy and the darkness of despair. We remember him as one of us. We pray, merciful God, for all of Jesus' family, whose sense of loss is so keen because their love was so deep. Even when we are weighed down by grief and loneliness, may we know that you are upholding us. Give us the assurance of your constant care, that we may have courage to meet the days ahead. And we pray for those who are close to Jesus. May their present sorrow be so transformed by hope that they come in time to cherish with true thankfulness those shared experiences which nothing can ever take away. Give us grace to face the future with a calm mind, a strong faith, and a loving heart. Amen. Please stand as you are able for the next song.
How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss the Father saw. I will not boast.
boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection.
Why should I gain?
We have entrusted Jesus to the hands of God. We now commit his body to the ground, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, trusting in the infinite mercy of God. Let us pray for one another. Almighty God, we pray for each other here today. Increase our trust in you and strengthen our love for other people. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Please remain seated for the next song.
When I survey the wondrous cross on
So how are you feeling? What emotions have you felt this morning? What emotions are you feeling? What has touched your heart in this funeral service for Jesus of Nazareth? Let me share some of my thoughts with you. The Good Friday is an extremely powerful and emotional time for Christians. The sun might be shining, sort of, outside, but inside, our hearts are dark and heavy. And on Good Friday, I find myself remembering painful times in my life, times when I felt I have been crucified unfairly. It's hard to look beyond the very bleak, black, depressing despair of today. And then I remember that Jesus has nail holes in his hands and his feet. And I don't. My pain must be less than his. And this funeral service for Jesus reminds me of other funerals I've been involved with. Funerals for people of all ages, from little babies to people over 100 years old. They're mourned by family and friends. They're remembered by their loved ones. And this is difficult, because some of those funerals have been utterly and overwhelmingly black and depressing. They're devoid of any hope. Devoid of any hope, particularly for the families, because they have not accepted that for Jesus and for his followers, death is not the end. There is a resurrection to come. Christian funerals are very different. Yes, there's sadness, but there's also this great sense of hope in what is to come. Now, I don't know how many were there to watch Jesus laid in the tomb. Probably there were just a handful to watch, or to help Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus to lay Jesus' body in the tomb. But that loneliness at a burial, the silent aloneness of loss and grief and isolation, is a model of the emptiness and isolation that many of us feel at times. And Jesus was there like that before us. He knows those feelings of despair and isolation too. We are not alone in this. And some of our feelings of isolation and despair are due to the guilt that we feel for the rotten parts of our life. And we all have those, times of anger and selfishness and pride, or lack of compassion for others. But today we focus on the reality of our lives. We can't pretend that all is sweetness and light and beauty. We need to be honest and to feel the pain, because today we can nail those awful, nasty bits of our life to the cross and then bury them in the tomb with Jesus. It's what happens next that makes the difference, because we can keep digging up those rotten bits like picking at a scab. We can keep wallowing in the stench and the decay so that the rottenness of our lives never leaves us. Or we can leave the filth of our sin buried with Jesus, because we know that on Sunday the tomb will be empty. And so today, Today I invite you to silently confess your pain. Confess your sorrow for the rottenness of your life. Nail the nasty stuff to the cross. And then leave it there with Jesus. Now let us have a time of prayer based on the seven words, or rather phrases, that Jesus spoke while he was nailed to the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Wherever there is division and hurt in human relations, let us pray for the spirit of forgiveness and unity.
Woman, behold your son. Behold your mother.
Let us pray for the spirit of care that Jesus showed from the cross for others, in the church, in the family, at work, and in the community.
Truly I say, today you will be with me in paradise.
Let us give thanks for the sure promises of God, especially through the cross of Jesus, our Saviour.
My God, why have you forsaken me?
Let us pray that all who feel forsaken by God and the world, the persecuted, the ill, the unemployed, the grief-stricken, and the depressed, may they know the presence of Christ in them.
I thirst.
We remember how Jesus identified with us in our human struggles. Let us pray for those who hunger and thirst in our world.
It is finished.
Let us give thanks for the way Jesus was faithful to the end in completing the task that God gave him. Let us pray for the courage to be faithful in all things and to never give up.
Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.
Let us pray for the trust that Jesus showed in God as we go into the world.
Amen. After we sing this next song, this time of worship will be over. If you wish to remain here for a quiet time of prayer, please feel free to stay and to contemplate. Otherwise, I encourage you to leave the church in silence. And when you leave, there are sprigs of rosemary for you to take. They will help you to place on the communion table here so that you may remember the significance of today. If you choose to do this, please come forward down the centre place your sprig of rosemary on the table, and then depart from around the sides. I would encourage you to give the rosemary a good firm squeeze or rub between your fingers, so that when you leave, you take the aroma of remembrance home with you. And I remind you that this is not the end of the story. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. So on Sunday at 9:30, we'll be here to celebrate the victory of life over death, the victory of hope over despair, and the victory of, or the reality, that light overcomes darkness. And we'd love you to share that special time here with us too. Remember, leave the church in silence. And remember also that Jesus of Nazareth died on a cross for you, for me, for everyone. He did it for us. And now go into the world in peace, bearing your cross. Leave your sin with Jesus and embrace the love and the grace that God has for us all. Please remain seated as we sing.
Let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee, I give thee back the life I owe, that in thy ocean depths its flow may richer, fuller be. O light that follows all my way, I yield my flickering torch to thee. My heart restores its borrowed ray, that in thy sunshine's blaze its day may brighter me through pain. I cannot close my heart to thee. I trace the rainbow through the rain and feel thy promise is not vain, that morn shall till us be. O cross that liftest up my life that shall end.